This is Lachlan Rouston.
This is Ralph Friedman. And you're listening to the fittest podcast in Australia,
The Mind Muscle Project. Project, welcome back to this week's after show. I'm excited to talk about locker room updates. We get closer and closer every single day, but with all things that can go wrong, what's the law? Is it Murphy's Law? If something can go wrong, it will go wrong. I feel like that's playing out.
Must have had a rough life, Murphy.
There's a shortage of Concept 2 equipment in Australia. That's just a fact. So we're on a 6 to 8 week waiting list for some of the Concept 2 equipment. Unfortunately, it didn't come. It hasn't arrived on time, but because we're so well connected, when I say well connected, I mean we know people with Concept 2 machines. we will be able to find some equipment. But everything else is arriving. Hopefully, end of this week. So I know some people have been following the updates. You can follow the updates on our Instagram, or you can follow it on LinkedIn if you have LinkedIn. But for Instagram, most of you, so it's at Locker Room Gym. Remember, Locker Room is spelt one word, one R. So very excited for the next 2 to 3 weeks as it plays out. We're opening up 10 membership slots per month. So we've essentially filled up all of Feb. So in March, we'll look to fill our next 10 spots. So I'm pretty pumped for this. And I feel like there's some good energy going around it at the moment. I've been bumping into some local celebrities just by pure chance, which I don't think is coincidence. I think it's like they know Locker Room's opening. And so these kinds of people are just like gravitating into my path and colliding into me. But someone's going to call it something else. I'm going to call it good coincidental energy from the earth.
Well, someone asked when we were asking for the Concept 2 equipment why we chose the ones we did. So we chose, we've actually got the Assault branded treadmill.
Yep.
And we've got the Concept 2 bike and we've got the Concept 2 ski erg. Obviously, we've tried like all the different conditioning equipment that's out there.
Yeah.
And we landed on those three. I don't remember exactly the thought process. The treadmill I've used, that's the best treadmill that I've ever used, is that that Assault one. And we used to use the Woodway before that. I used that a bunch of times, but I really reckon it's sick, that one. Really just for the scoring aspect, being able to have really good calories, always really reliable. And I think it is very, very similar to actual running. So the Assault treadmill is sick. I think that's why I went for that. And then really, I think the Ski Erg and the Concept 2 bike, I mean, they're mad. I don't know why the ski has got so popular, but it has. But I think the best thing about those two is just really being able to isolate the two halves of the body.
Yeah.
Like, actually being able to isolate them. Even an Assault bike doesn't really do it. Like, you have a shoulder injury, you can't really use it. So I think, like, the main reason we went for those was just so you could completely pull apart the two different parts of a person's body so you can always train.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm excited for it. It's just always cool to get a bit of new equipment and just get some, I guess, because I've started to write some of the programming for the space. And I mean, we've had our programming hats on for, you know, Project Body and Fitness and Project Strong and obviously collabing with the team there. But I guess we haven't written the programs for our gym in a very long time, especially the conditioning element. And so it's interesting to kind of play around with some of the new equipment, some of the pieces we haven't had before, mixing in some of the different training. But no, I'm very excited to get, because we kind of got a monostructure area, is put together some of these monostructure workouts, because when we were training regularly, we never had the bike erg and we didn't really have the Assault runner either. So it's like cool to be able to program that in now.
Yeah, it wasn't really till the end. It was only really preparing for regionals that we'd use a lot of the Assault runner, and it is really different.
We didn't own one.
No, exactly. Yeah. So we didn't really need it, because running the road in general is better, but you know, we're in the Sydney CBD, so we're not going to be able to do it. But what that running treadmill does, right? I do think it is mad for gyms. It just allows you to basically do what we love, which is like different modalities all at once.
Yeah.
You got to run for a short period and not just be lost somewhere else. And I really do think it does teach people to run better. What we would find preparing for regionals is like, if you ran really well against someone that ran poorly, you might be like, you know, a minute ahead of them on regular ground. And on the treadmill, you'd be like 3 minutes ahead. Like the punishment for someone that ran poorly seemed to be much greater on treadmill than a road.
That's right.
You like heel strike really bad. You keep going on the road. Everyone's seen someone that runs poorly, but is just tough and fit. And they would do all right on the ground. Whereas you'd find on the treadmill that they would really hurt.
Well, I just think it's harder to run fast on the treadmill. It's just hard to, I mean, anyone can just keep up a jogging pace on the treadmill. It doesn't make much difference, but to sprint well and consistently and effortlessly on the treadmill, it's hard. And that's where you really start to clock up the calories and meters, right? When you're at a faster pace, and it just punishes you. Yeah, you're just not at that just not where you need to be. And it's just, yeah, it's just one of those things that's important. But anyway, excited to start putting those pieces together. And yeah, I mean, it's building a bit of momentum and some following and stuff, and signed up some clients. So all is going well. So we appreciate anyone that's, like, you know, really stuck into our DMs and, you know, throwing some support and some love our way. We appreciate it. So yeah, hopefully just continue the ball rolling and do a bit of a Tom Brady. Mm. Keep on winning. What did you think of, did you watch the game?
I didn't watch the game. The game goes for a very long time.
Yeah, it's like 5 hours.
We were together
hours.
During
yeah,
most
yeah.
of it.
Yeah.
So I wasn't watching it. Props if you actually took out 5 hours on a Monday morning to watch the Super Bowl. I did watch all the highlights. And football is best in highlights.
Yeah. Well, especially if you don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
If you're like really into it and you love the stats and you're sitting around and you're talking about this player and that player and this route and, you know, you followed it, obviously you're a diehard and it's different. But yeah, for us, it's... Yeah, I mean, it's not really on our radar. I mean, it's probably one of the biggest sports in America that's the smallest sport in Australia. Because if I think about the main American sports, baseball, basketball, and the NFL, basketball is by far the biggest sport in Australia.
Yeah, like American football is huge, but it's just so complicated and expensive, and yeah. I think also dangerous, which has made it their weakest export. So it's so popular in the States, but so unpopular generally yeah. outside the States. People watch it. But so unpopular to play. And it is partly because it's just such a complicated and expensive sport.
Yeah.
You need so many players. You need so much equipment.
Yeah.
Like coaching, everything. Soccer is like, ball and dirt.
Yeah.
Go for it.
Yeah, basketball, you just need a hoop.
Like,
yeah,
nothing, yeah. right? So it just yeah. makes it, that's what England did well. They made sports that were like really easy to share around. Even cricket, you might look at it like it's complicated 5 days, but it's not really. Like, you can play backyard cricket. You're on.
Oh, yeah. You know, just need a wheelie bin.
Yeah.
And
you literally need nothing. Yeah. And, you know, no one's... I guess people have died. But generally, you don't get crazy injuries either in cricket.
Yeah.
But American football is the opposite of that. But you can still appreciate it. That's why the highlights are so unreal. And it was good. I mean, obviously, it blew out in the end. But if you did watch it until halftime, we're still really close until halftime. So it was pretty exciting.
Oh, I didn't actually watch how the scores played out. How did the scores play out?
It was close until halftime, and then there was serious blowout when they took control.
What was the score at halftime?
I think it was like 7-4. It was very close. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it was about one score difference.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good. It's just fascinating watching, you know, because obviously in some positions in that game, you're retired after like two seasons. You lose a little bit of pace as like a wide receiver? Like one of those guys that got to run the route and then catch the ball. Or even a, the Americans are just screaming at me right now. What's the, is it running back?
Yeah.
The guy they feed the ball to and he runs the routes. Like those guys that need the maximum speed. As soon as you lose an edge on that speed or you get an injury or whatever, like you're out of the game. The quarterback has so much longevity by comparison. Whereas if you think of other sports, right, say like baseball, to use another American sport as an example, all the players have a similar lifetime. If anything, the pitchers maybe got a slightly shorter lifetime sometimes because they get an injury sooner than anyone else. But most players have similar career lengths. You don't get that sort of discrepancy between a running back and a quarterback, other sports.
The interesting thing is the discrepancy is large in how long they can do, but in reality, it often ends up playing out reasonably similar. So if you're really good, say a quarterback, you can go for a long time.
Okay.
But the average length of their career doesn't end up being that much longer. It'll be like 3.5 compared to 2.5 because it's so competitive.
Competitive, yeah.
Because there's one quarterback.
Right.
And they have like a backup. So because it's so intense, as soon as it's not working out, gone.
Yeah.
You know, and if it doesn't look like it worked out at one team, unlikely another team
is
going to give it a go.
Man, it's tough. It's cutthroat. I mean, it's one of those things you always hear. It's like the business side of sport, right? Which is, you do think about it. I mean, these people own these teams like they run a business, and the employees are the team members, are the players on the field. And as soon as you get an underperforming employee, you mean give them the warning, you give them some trial, but then ultimately you cut them or you sideline them, right? Or you change their role, which is, you know, it's weird and it's tough and it's someone's life you got to think about, but is it running exactly the same as a business? I guess people that aren't business-minded don't see it that way. But it totally makes sense. Like if you owned a team and you had an underperforming player, you would look to get a better player or you would look to get a better... I know in England for soccer, it's big on manager. They always blame the manager. So like, cool, we need a new coach. It's not the player's fault. So nah, it's really interesting.
The weird thing is America seems to put way more emphasis on the business side of things. Like in Australia, no one ever says, oh, I'm so proud of this organization.
Yeah.
No one says that about a sports team. It's American... Yeah. I don't know, they always seem to do that.
Yeah.
And it does seem strange when you're not from the country to talk about it like that. I don't know. I guess because generally sports teams don't have owners, Whereas in general, most sports teams don't have like a single owner.
Oh, really?
It'll be like a club.
Yeah.
You know, most will be clubs. So in
who owns a club?
It'll be like, you know, collection of owners. Like a club you might like join, has like a board of directors, and they have a trust fund where it holds the money, but there's no owner. For example, like us, main sports like Australian Rugby League, like Russell Crowe had to do all that stuff, and he became an owner of the Rabbitohs. Okay. But that was like, he had to like overturn like the constitution of the clubhouse.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that is a much rarer circumstance. So that's why you get a very different feel about it. Whereas American sports, like, I'm the owner, get out, you know, this is my house. And like, I don't care where you're from, we're getting the best players. Whereas Australians will tend to go make, like a club, and it's generally more like, hey, where you're from is where you play for.
That's interesting. I didn't know that. I didn't know it was like that, but it makes sense. No, it totally makes sense. Yeah, I mean, what's that, the seventh ring for Tom Brady at this point?
He's won seven. What I thought was crazy is that they're like, he's actually won more than any team.
Wow.
So the team that's won the most is obviously the Patriots, because he won six with them, so they've won six.
Yeah.
But now he's won seven.
All six that they won were with him.
Yeah. Now he's won seven, so he's won more than any team, which is absolute lunatic.
Obviously he's special, but do you think he's obviously special at throwing a ball, but there are a lot of guys that can throw a ball really well, right? So obviously there's something that he's doing also that brings a team up to another level. It must be a leadership thing, right? Surely. You must think that he would have speeches, leadership qualities, understanding, bonding with the team. He's kind of got the LeBron James effect, right? Like when LeBron James goes to different teams, he's so good that he helps bring all the teams up. He helps to elevate those teams to championships. Like some of the teams that he's won championships with, so he's won it with Miami, he won it with Cleveland, and he won it with the Lakers. He's obviously the factor in all of those teams. Yeah, they're good teams, and some of them are kind of like, you would say, like super teams in some way, but they couldn't have won it without him. I guess that's kind of like, you know, he adds that extra 5% to everyone's game. He helps them lift. It's like when you've got that effect, you know, and people buy you and they put you in a team. Tom Brady must have the same thing in the NFL, right?
Yeah, I think it is, and I think it's, you know, triple, because it's different. People always, if you look at, like, say, Michael Jordan, every year that he was winning, right, you were like, oh, he's the best player in the league.
Yeah.
Right? It was, like, pretty undoubted he was the best player each year, right? Whereas over the, you know, 20-plus years that he's been in the NFL, it's not like he was the best quarterback every year.
Right.
You're not like, oh, hands down, so easy, he's just the best this year, like, every single year. Hasn't been like that.
Last year, he didn't do that.
Last year wasn't great. And there's been lots of good quarterbacks over these 20 years, and there's definitely been times where other quarterbacks were better than him, without question. It's not like he's just like, oh, no one can touch him over 25 years. Yeah. But what he has got over everybody else is like, he seems to be able to like lift a team around him, which has led to ridiculous success.
Those are the things you just don't, it's the off the field stuff that you don't see, right? Mm. Which is why when you hear like LeBron's ability for people to get along with him, that's why he does so well with these teams. And it's probably one of the factors that, say, like Michael Jordan didn't have. Because, and Kobe didn't have, it's because they were like the single team for most of their career, and they were like super intense, super hard going. Yeah, they would lift people or whatever, but they would also turn people off as well, you know, to get in fights. And we hear the stories and stuff, and it's not to take away from what those guys did, it's just a different approach. Whereas you hear like LeBron's approach, like everyone fucking loves him, and he gets along with everyone really well, and he goes around the house for food and dinners, and he's just got that personality. And every approach is different, but I guess the way he's doing it, he's getting a lot of success.
Yeah, he's got the positive personality. So like Michael Jordan, when he had like his Hall of Fame speech, he just made fun of everybody, right? Just ripped into everyone that ever doubted him. Tom Brady's like never would do that.
Yeah.
He's the reverse.
Different personality.
He's just like the 100% positive.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just a different style of leadership. And I guess it just depends on what you like. But no, it's been interesting. Staying on sport, you know, the Australian summer doesn't feel quite right when I'm not watching, you know, I got the fan on. I got the door open, you know, I'm drinking ice cold protein shake. I've had a long day of training and I'm sitting down for at least the next 5 or 6 hours to watch tennis. It just doesn't feel like an Australian summer if I'm not doing that. My best memories around summer are watching the Australian Open. And it's been really hard to not have that this year until it was, because obviously we weren't sure if it was going to happen. There was all this COVID stuff that was happening.
Is it later than it normally is? Or this?
Much later, much later. Because it finishes, and I always remember this, right? Because it finishes the weekend that school goes back.
Yeah.
Because I would always want to watch the final, but my parents are like, no, well, it goes so late, Sunday night, right? It goes so late, so I'd always get sent to bed early. And my uncle gave me, this is going back a while now, but my uncle gave me this TV, right? That was like a TV radio. So it was a portable TV, with this tiny screen. A
tiny antenna.
And it had an antenna, and you would tune into the free-to-air channels. And
so, used to bring them to school.
Yes. It's great. It's come a long way, right? So I had this tiny portable TV and I used to sit in my room because he gave it to me. He's like, don't tell your parents. And I used to sit in my room and watch the final on Sunday nights with the antenna up in the room when I got told to go to bed because I had school the next day. So that was some of my early memories. But anyway, school holidays went back last week, I think, or maybe a week and a half ago. So yeah, it's starting after when it usually ends. So it's probably like 3 weeks behind because of 2 week tournament. So yeah, 2 or 3 weeks behind. But the man, if you ever get an opportunity, I mean, hopefully they will again soon, to go to a tennis event, a live tennis event.
I've never been.
A major?
I've never been to a tennis game.
I know you're not really a fan of tennis, yeah. But the experience is unreal. Like Melbourne, 2 years ago or a year ago, when the Australian Open was properly on, it's amazing because they set up massive screens all over the city, right? So yeah. You can go along the river. You can go in, is it Federation Square? Whatever they call it, that the center part. You can go to all different spots over Melbourne if you can't get into the grounds and watch the game live with the rest of the city. It's just incredible. And it's just such a great time of year. So it's nice to have that back. It's not quite the same. Obviously, the stadium's probably at 10% capacity. But even those 10%, like, they're bringing good energy. Like, they know they're there.
It doesn't take much, right? It's a small stadium.
Exactly. And it's a quiet game, right? Yeah. So you can hear it and stuff.
Shut up anyway.
Yeah. So, no, it's good to have it back. I mean, so Nick Kyrgios, who's like, he's not Australia's best player. I think he's Australia's third best player right now. But obviously, he's always the fan favorite because he's like the most controversial and he's like the most animated, he's the most entertaining. It's funny because that's what sports ultimately is, entertainment, right? So even if you're not the best player, but you're the most entertaining, people will talk about you the most and you'll make more money. So Kyrgios is out there and he gives his speech at the end. They ask him, you know, how the last year went. And I think it was really interesting because he lives in Canberra. So they didn't have a COVID case for 6 months. I mean, I even forgot Canberra exists, but I'm joking, Canberra, relax, okay? You guys are important. You have Parliament House, you have Questacon, and you have roundabouts. Something else. And you have Nick Kyrgios. But it's, you know, for him, he would have been home most of the year. I mean, his career travels all year, 365. And he came out and he's like, you know, honestly, I got out there today and I was fucking nervous. Like, I was really scared about how I'd play. He hasn't played a major for a year. Like, that's crazy. For someone that's playing full time for the last 10 years of their life to not play a major. Yeah, it's I don't know. It's interesting.
You got to wonder as well, because it seems like they'll definitely, almost definitely cancel the Olympics. They're saying like, oh, we might do it. But I think they're just trying to balance like the TV rights negotiations going on. But if you could imagine... preparing for 4 years for an event, maybe say like you're on the edge of like your age, you know, like, hey, it's like your last Olympics
and you're qualified
and then having to like redo your taper and peak for 2021, and then it's cancelled again, you assume, and you have to redo your taper and peak for 2022.
You would be pumped if you're injured.
It's got to be the, I mean, that's probably every athlete, but it's got to be, that's going to be one of the hardest things. That if you could imagine like that whole process, doing it all and under, you know, can't compete and all that type of shit, and then you got to like, okay, reset.
Because
it's not like you can just maintain that level, right? If you're like a weightlifter and you can clean and jerk 200, it's not like, okay, I've got that, I'll just hold that for 2 years.
Yeah, yeah. No, no, no.
You got to go through like the full off season, let your clean and jerk go back down to 170, and you got to build it back up again. Like, it's just, the amount of work to win that medal has just gone up so much again.
With 5% left of your patella tendon.
Yeah, it's, as well. It's another 2 years of work just to be in the same shape that you are right now.
Like, imagine peaking and then not even coming close to your last peak.
Which will happen to so many athletes.
Yeah.
Because there's such a high level.
Yeah, yeah.
There's absolutely no guarantee 2 years later without, you know, probably not ideal conditions because they haven't got competing or whatever. You're going to, everyone's
going
to hit. Yeah, everyone's going to hit those same marks.
Yeah. Well, you got to think Australia's probably got the best training conditions right now. Like, we don't have any restrictions. You know what I mean? People can move out freely. They can see their family. They can grocery shop. They can, you know, they can have leisure time. They can do all that stuff. So, I mean, not that people in Russia would get that anyway, but...
leisure time.
Leisure time and grocery shopping, don't be silly. It's steroids and training. But, yeah, I don't know. It'll be interesting. I think, the level... I mean, it's the Olympics, right? So, regardless of whenever we end up holding it, they're going to perform at a super high level anyway. But, you know, some sports, they just need a crowd. Some sports need a crowd.
And then they'll go 1 year off and do it again.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy. But could you imagine going there and like the hassle of the COVID? Imagine if there's a COVID case that come
there.
That's why
I think there's just no... Of course there'd be a COVID case. That's why I think there's just no chance that they're going to do it. Say they're still going to do it, but you just... couldn't comprehend how that would work.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't see how it's going to work. Did you? I was listening to Rogan. I haven't listened to him for a few months, but do you know in California, 75% of hospitality businesses have shut permanently? 75%. Three out of every four restaurants is shut. Could you imagine how decimated...
I'm not surprised.
Imagine how decimated our country would be if three out of four... That's why so many people are leaving.
Well, you know what? I spoke to a friend in Chile, and this is a funny one. So in
Chile, Chile or Chile?
I probably abused
it. I think it's Chile.
Chile. Okay. Chile. Different place. it was in Chile, and he was saying that when COVID first hit, they had this really bad cluster. You know how we had like the Ruby Princess? They had their version of that, like the worst cluster.
On a ship?
No. It was in a CrossFit gym.
Right? Oh, no.
It was in a CrossFit gym. And word got around that CrossFit was like the ultimate like super spreader of COVID. I'm not kidding.
No.
Right? I'm not kidding.
No.
They're like, yeah, you know, it's like the lifting and the sweating and the shirts off. So everyone was like, just whatever you do, COVID safe, CrossFit. Don't do CrossFit.
Jesus.
And it's sad. Like, I think every single CrossFit gym has gone out of business. Because even that, you know, you're allowed to go back now. It's like, dude, don't go to CrossFit. Yeah. That's like bad for the nation.
Yeah, yeah.
I think there's one CrossFit gym that survived because he's like the Masters athlete. He wins the Masters. Everyone's kind of trying to support him. But they just got the worst luck of PR you could imagine.
Fucking hell. That's just luck,
that's
right?
That's just bad luck.
Bad luck
and probably bad education.
Yeah. Yeah. That is awful. Well, I feel sorry for those people. But I mean, yeah, it'd be interesting to see how it goes. Back on Tom Brady. So he's got that. Have you heard of TB12?
I downloaded the audiobook a long time ago. It was a very bad audiobook.
Okay.
I've got to say. I think it's sitting in our library.
It's his workout routine.
It's his peak performance book.
Yeah, okay. He doesn't look like he trains. Have you seen his body?
I have. I think, though,
what do you think's going on there? He's never been in shape.
Well, I think he had bad genetics to start with. Like, you know, he's got amazing genetics, bad genetics just for aesthetics. So the way he looks, right?
Yeah,
he had, always had bad...
Like muscle insertions, body composition.
Bad beach genetics from the start. And when I did read into quite a bit of the book, he felt like he did weightlifting a lot when he started. I mean, you couldn't really tell, but he said he was. And then he said that like he kept getting injured. So he got this kind of new, he's like pliability workout routine, which is what he writes about, which if you haven't read it, it's not super complex. Basically, like obviously tons of stretching, tons of foam rolling, tons of, you know, it's got like some ultimate masseuse that seems to follow him around all day because he gets like three times a day. And then just like heaps of band lifting. So just like obsessed with bands. Right. So it's like, it's actually normal gym exercises. It's just all with bands.
Right.
And that's like pretty much seems like all his... He does lift some weights, I think, obviously, clearly. But that's mostly what he's done. And also when I read the book was his nutrition is interesting because he eats super clean, super healthy, you know, as you'd expect. But just doesn't eat very much.
Yeah.
Okay. I remember counting it up and maybe this bullshit, but it was like 2,300, 2,400 calories.
Bro, he looks like he eats 2,000
calories.
Yeah.
And then I was like, you know, maybe it's true. I think he just doesn't eat that
enough,
much.
Enough, yeah. He doesn't eat enough for muscle growth.
Nah. And maybe he just doesn't need it. Well, clearly he doesn't need it that much.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's an interesting strategy that he's done. Obviously, it's worked really well, it seems like, for just having low injuries.
For me, it seems like one of those things because, you know, the other sport I look to, which is in some ways like that, is the UFC. You get so many different body types. And it seems like as soon as someone is successful at a certain look and a certain weight, they don't really care anymore.
Mm.
And so I feel like that is just a factor of how all athletes
now
are.
It's just don't get injured at that point.
Yeah, they're just like, oh, whatever, I don't look that good. I got my shirt off, everyone can see it, I'm in my underwear, but I don't give a fuck. If I'm winning, if I'm knocking guys out, if I'm the champ, then so be it, whatever. How I look is how I look, and they don't really care that much. And that's the only thing I can imagine that Brady cares about. But the reason that it doesn't make sense to me is because he's selling a workout program. Why do people work out? To look good. He looks like shit. So who's going to buy TB12? That's what doesn't make sense to me, which is why the Hemsworth app makes sense, right? Like
he looks amazing.
Yeah, like he looks absolutely incredible. Maybe his methods suck. Maybe he had nothing to do it. Maybe it was just the steroids. But, you know, people are going to buy that workout program because they want to look like Thor. You know what I mean? Like he looks good. Brady ain't selling any programs. You know what I mean? I mean, if it was like a throwing program, I get it, or like a high performance program, but it's a workout program, right? It's to look good.
Yeah, it's a strange one. I guess the only person maybe might be if you're going into your 40s and
you want to be a world class average looking quarterback.
Yeah, you just want to really maintain your pliability. I guess he should jump on. I don't know if you've seen, but
jump on the MMP.
No, you know how there's like there's masterclass. There's a competitive masterclass that started called Skills, and you go on and like Michael Phelps is there. Number one athlete.
Skills.
And it's like learn swimming with Michael Phelps. They're always pumping me ads.
Is it always, is it just for people?
I think it's sports.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I looked at it briefly, and I think they had like a really, really big name basketball player in there as well.
Okay, 1L or 2Ls?
I think if you look up skills, like you're going to find
World-class business skills?
No, no, it's not business. I'll find it for you. No, I think it's spelled like how skills is...
Skills.impulse.com.
Is normally spelled.
Oh, no, that's not it.
I'll show you this.
Okay. But oh, no, skills is... That's the... No, that's not it. That's got to be something else. Maybe it's double L. But yeah...
The skills.
Yeah, I mean, lots of these are going to start popping up now, right? Esports for everyone, is that it?
No. It's called The Skills. It's like so similar to Masterclass.
Right.
Meet your coach, Michael Phelps.
I mean, some people want to know some of these insights, but, you know...
It's just for athletes.
Masterclass started with Steph Curry.
Mm.
So it started with some sport, and it started with Serena Williams as well. So maybe they just took the vertical of... Because, I mean, Masterclass are all high performance, right? All the best people in their fields. So this must just be for sport only.
Yeah, it is. It's like they got tennis, football.
I've seen one for tennis. Yeah, I've been fed a Masterclass just for tennis.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, and they've got all different players. They've got really good coaches on there as well. I think that's probably one thing that Masterclass is different. They go for more the performers and less of the people behind the scenes. You know what I mean?
Mm.
Whereas, you know, on this tennis app, I think I saw it's like, I'm Serena Williams' coach, for example. And it's like, learn from me. So, yeah, it's interesting who you want to learn from. I think both people, the player and the coach, have valuable insights. Yeah, it's interesting. You know what I was thinking about as well? You know, because one of the things that comes up a lot in tennis is the player's box. It's like a big thing. It's like that the box, your posse of people that you let into the stadium in your section.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, you don't watch any tennis, eh? So
I have seen tennis, but I don't know the terminology.
So like one thing that's really
it's like
big.
The people at the bottom sitting on the chairs.
They're up in the stand, but they're like your section.
Oh, yeah, they always show them like.
Yeah, they always show them between points and stuff, right? Because it's like a big deal who's sitting in there and stuff. It's a bit of like a. What's he wearing? What's she wearing? Who's in there? Who's not in there? That sort of thing. But I thought a lot about the, like who you would let into the box to kind of support you. And now I wanted to pose the question to you. Say you were playing a high level sport like that as well. And you could only select, say like a handful of people to be there to support you. I mean, obviously you can invite your friends that can watch on TV or they can be in the crowd, but it's like, all right,
you can get them tickets.
This is like the selection of people that I want specifically in my box. Because the box is what you look at between points, right?
Yeah.
They like encourage you. So
is
obviously,
your coach there?
Whoever you want.
Okay, but there's no other place where like your coach sits.
No.
These are your people.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you can't coach from it. Okay, so you can't like go up to it and be like, "What should I do next?" There's no coaching allowed. But it's like the people you look to, and they're gonna get you through potentially a 5-hour match, right? That support you. So you don't want anyone in there that like just frustrates you. You know, it's like. Why are you here? Because last night, Kyrgios, there was someone in the box. And he's like, why is your girlfriend in the box? Get her out of my box. Yeah, I just yelled it at him in the middle of the thing. So embarrassing.
Serious?
Yeah. So I was thinking like...
Did she leave the box?
I guess. I don't know. I didn't see the result. But my question is to you, if you were playing like one of... Say you were playing rugby or whatever, like Sano, you know, tennis-sized stadium. Who are you picking for your box like to motivate you the most? Like fire you up the most, get you through the game.
How many people do you get?
Let's just for the sake of the length of this podcast, let's just say like three people.
Okay.
Three or four people.
I'd probably go. I think sports you always have. You have coach. You got one person that coaches you to sport, and then next.
Which
person,
coach would you have?
My coach. Wouldn't I have a coach?
Yeah, but like, is it one of the coaches that you've had in the past?
Oh, I see. So you want actual
people. Actual people you know right now. Like, if like tomorrow you're going in this tournament, I'm like, Raf, you need three people to support you through the tournament. It's like in a fight, who's in your corner, right? You have three or four people. Because it matters.
Yeah.
Who are you putting in your corner,
bro? I think of my most motivating coach that I've had.
Yeah, because you've had... It would have been a rugby coach, right?
Potentially. I'm trying to think of the best person.
I'll tell you, I thought about this. So my coach...
Yeah?
My coach was... well, the best coach I've had is my dad.
Mm.
He coached me all through childhood sport. So he's got to be in there. He's my coach. Coach / family member. Because, you know, you might want some family in there.
Yeah.
You think it's Starry?
I would have my dad in there as the family member because he used to always come to my sports as well.
Yeah.
Didn't really have much good advice, but...
it's like, I don't know what to do, but just keep going.
He'd probably be the person that would break the rules for being able to yell something at me.
Did I tell you a story of my... Yeah, I've told the story of my dad tackled the guy on the field.
No, how did he tackle?
I didn't tell you about that? Oh my God. All right, this is a good story. So, back when we were playing soccer under... This will give you some time to think about your people as well. When we were playing under, I want to say it was under 18s. I think I was in year 12 or I was in year 11. But we had one guy on the team who was the year below us. And he didn't go to our school. but he was really good. And we're playing this game against, I can't even remember the name of the team, but it was like typically one of the more like arrogant, violent teams out there. And I never get into fights. I'm like super non-confrontational, but this one guy was hacking at me all game. And the game was really close. And I think it was 1-1. I was getting towards the end of the game and he kept hacking at me and I turned around and I like pushed him and he walked up to me and he like grabbed me and started choking me. And so I grabbed him and started choking him. And then my mate ran over and like pushed him to the ground. Yeah. And then it was like a bit of a scuffle and you know, everyone was like, no, stop, chill. Yeah. We're like, all right, let's just finish the game, get over it. We had to shake hands, whatever. And then like, all right, play. And then the ball starts playing again and then I start hearing screaming and we're down the opposition's end of the field and then we look, so we're down our end of the field and then we look back at there and this young kid on our team who's from a different school, who's our striker, is on the floor but way down the other end of the field, on the floor, and the three of their defenders, including their goalie, have him on the ground and they're kicking him.
Oh my God.
So they've tackled him, thrown him to the ground. He's obviously started...
So this was separate to your fight?
Separate to my fight. So everything had cooled off. But then down Allen, because the striker hangs out with the defenders, right? Obviously, he's like mouthed off. Because he had a pretty big mouth. He was like a small kid. He had a bit of small man syndrome. They obviously thrown him to the ground, threw him on, started kicking him, right?
That's why I didn't play soccer.
So we start sprinting down the field. And my dad sees it. And he's the coach. And he gets there first. So my dad sprints in. Right?
Tackles the children.
Dude, tackles all three kids in one tackle. And they have, and then now
how old are you at this point?
Well, so I'm 18, so dad's...
Oh, wow, no. Yeah, so, old kids, yeah.
So dad's probably like...
I was imagining 9-year-olds.
No. Oh, he's tackling like 18-year-old boys, right? Like, they've hit puberty at this point. And they're going nuts. They're throwing... Like, he's got them pinned down at the ground, and he's just trying to hold them down. He doesn't want to throw any punches, but they're throwing punches at him. So he's like got them at arm's length, holding them down. They're throwing punches. He's trying to dodge punches. Our guy is on the ground, like, out cold. Like, he's kicked in the head and shit. It's like fully violent. Anyway, so... Whole thing gets wrapped up. Their parents are yelling at our parents are yelling at their parents. My dad's like got a few cuts or whatever. Their kids are going nuts. That's abuse, this sort of shit. He's like, you had this guy on the ground kicking him, one of my players, like I had to get you off him. I didn't even injure you, I just like tackled you down. Anyway, he ends up in court.
Yeah, I was gonna say he looks the worst here.
Yeah. He went to court and he got like a 14-match ban for saving the kid on our team. How bullshit is that though?
That's so bullshit.
I mean, we needed phones back then to film that shit. It was like, it was so wrong. He goes there, he saves his kid, and he ends up 14-match ban in court.
But that is one thing, though, I think has...
You can't touch minors, that's the thing.
Yeah, parents, they've cracked down on it so much, and I'm going to absolutely try my best to not be that parent when I'm older, but parents can just have no involvement in kids' sport.
It's... You're like, not... That's not going to be you. You just trip a little 5-year-old kid.
I'll need to be held back. I think I'd be fine with the... with the kids, I mean, more fear would be with the other parents.
Right.
That'd be my number.
Yeah, fair enough.
Because you get us all the parents. But to go back, to the three.
So I've got my dad in there, you've got your dad in there.
Yeah. Man, yeah, I probably would have Starry as a coach.
Oh,
it was good because before that, I never had a personal coach.
Yeah.
Because I've always done sport, like a team sport. So that was the first time I really had a personal coach.
Yeah. So Luke Starr was out, aka Starry, he was out, for those new listeners, he was like our CrossFit coach back in the day.
It was my CrossFit coach for probably like good 3-year stint of doing CrossFit, which is important. Like a good fitness coach, man, makes a huge difference. I don't know, like, people get coaches who just program for you and that does help a lot. It is different when you like go to competitions and stuff like that, because it brings in the whole like competition mindset to your coaching. So I think it's a different level, but I had that with him.
Okay, that's one.
No, and like my dad has two.
Oh, two. Yeah.
And then I'll probably bring in my partner as the third.
Oh, really?
She's been pretty good, actually. Like, normally I think people's partners, they often don't bring them, but I had her, obviously not during rugby, but during CrossFit, and she was good during CrossFit.
Yeah, nice. No, she used to stand there with... I remember she used to have a piece of paper with you, like, word for word, the cues and the encouragement that you wanted written down. Like,
my workouts would be
she couldn't
out.
Even say, go, Raph. Like, if it was like, yes, Raf, keep going. And you had it written down. Yes, Raf, keep going. She could only say, yes, Raf, keep going.
You don't want to leave it to them. I had to have written down when she would
talk. Don't you dare improvise on my encouragement. You'll fuck me up. Oh, that's so funny. Okay.
Who's your third person? No, who's your second person?
I'd have you. Mm. Yeah, fire me up. That was always good. And then probably my third person. Man, I feel like Tim Chalmers would be pretty good. One of our OG. But my thing is, I don't know if he would fire me up without actually being down there with me. You know what I mean? Like on the field sort of thing. Whereas I know you would just scream at me from the sidelines.
I love sidelines.
Yeah. So I don't know if you'd have that same energy without actually being in the fire down with me. You know what I mean? I don't know. So it's, yeah, it's a tough one.
Like very often when I go to some sort of match and I'm supporting someone, I'll be asked by like an official to calm down. That's frequent. That's most times I go.
You know, I'll probably have my brother.
Oh yeah.
He'd
protect me. Perfect.
Yeah. Anyone comes too close, just punch him in the face. I think, no, he wouldn't actually, he doesn't go that crazy, but you know what he does? He's really good at like very sarcastic abuse to the other team.
Oh, that's important. Yeah,
so you'd be like the crazy, like fired up. You'd be like foamy at the mouth, but he would just be over there abusing the other person.
That's critical.
It's a good combination.
Yeah, it's critical.
Yeah. So that's who my three would be. So my Moss Project listeners, who would you have in your corner? That's the question you got to know. All right. Before we jump into next part, you guys know this month is Project Strong. It's 30% off. So if you're interested in getting strong with a barbell, main four lifts, and you want to try something new, if you're sick of kind of the standard strength training programs, maybe you've run a few 5x5s for a while, you just kind of walk in, just lift the same weights every single time. I recommend doing Project Strong. Mix it up. Something a little bit different.
I'll tell you an exercise I did on Project Strong the last 2 weeks I've never done before. Is barbell squats, and I had a bench as well where the bar is in the bottom of the rack.
So bottom up squats. Yeah.
So you like squat down, you leave it on the rack, it's completely dead.
Stay tight.
And then you got to like drive straight up into the bar.
Oh yeah.
That's really hard actually.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it's really hard. Yeah, yeah, bench, I didn't find it was too difficult because it's kind of easy to stay tight at the bottom of a bench. But for a squat, it's very hard. Drive up into somebody.
How long are you, is it just till the weight settles and then straight up? Or is there an amount of time you're supposed to hold down?
No, just like settle. Once the weight is off your back, it's a whole new challenge to get the weight moving again. But that was sick. It's got all sorts of different weird weeks like that.
Yeah, because you lose all the tension in the muscle, right?
You lose all the tension.
Yeah,
it's much, much harder than going onto a box.
And did you do it for back or front squats?
Back.
Yeah, interesting. But yeah, you guys can go to the mymuscleproject.com/strong. Strong 30, so strong 30, one word, is the code to get 30% off just for the month of February. So make sure you check that out. And then, of course, one of the basically, I reckon it's my favorite sponsor at the moment, Whoop. It just seems to be a conversation we're having every single day.
Yeah, I haven't even told you this, but today I was working on the Whoop, how we're going to do Whoop for the clients.
At Locker Room?
Yeah, at Locker Room. And it's actually incredible because what you can do is that there's no way of doing it perfectly with a trainer, but if you just get the username and password of your client, right? So you set up a username and password, it's not like super unique to them. You share it. If you go on the laptop, you can get like really, really good data analyzation that you can't normally get on the phone.
Yeah.
I had never even been on.
Oh, you've never been on the,
I'd never seen like the day, the week, the fortnight, the month. Like it gives you such good data on the computer, much better than what you get on the phone.
Yeah.
So if anyone haven't even done that themselves, I would recommend that. Go to like, it's like app.watify.com, I think.
Yeah.
And you can get like, it's honestly unbelievable the data you can get on yourself over the past 6 months.
Well, it's taking 180 megabytes of data a day. That's way more data than any other fitness tracker.
I can see like how many, this good night's sleep, bad night's sleep, medium night's sleep, everything.
Yeah.
I can see like, how many days of high strain, low strain. Like, it's just crazy.
You can even see the journal entries and then what journal entries, so what things that you do according to your behaviors gives you a positive outcome and what gives you a negative outcome.
That's something you could try if you coach someone with Whoop or you have a coach. You could, give them the login.
Yeah.
And they'll learn a lot.
Because most people aren't pulling that data. They're just accumulating the data. They're looking at day to day. But then they're not going into their insights and looking at, oh, wow, every time I report magnesium, I get this boost. Oh, wow, every time I report caffeine, I actually get a decrease. So it's just stuff like that you've got to start using your data wisely for. But anyway, guys, check it out, themymuscleproject.com/whoop, W-H-O-O-P, and you can get our discount on that link. So go check it out, guys. Please join the Whoop team. We'll add you to the My Muscle Project leaderboard. If you haven't been added to the My Muscle Project leaderboard, send us a message on our Instagram. Send us a direct message and we'll add you into that. And you can compete with guys like my brother, professional athlete, Andrew Papp, myself, Raf, and many other people as well. So check that out, themymuscleproject.com/whoop. All right, listen to questions.
First, we got Pat Pekin. How to increase aerobic capacity in the least amount of sessions?
Oh, so he wants biggest bang for buck exercises for increasing aerobic capacity.
It's actually a good question.
It is a good question.
I don't know if he means like, also the time domain of the question, like, does he really not want long questions? I'm going to say he probably means means least amount of time overall.
Maybe how to get as fit as possible without investing hours and hours every day running, for example.
Yeah, the least, like most efficient way to do it.
Yeah. Man, it's a good question because I think, first of all, to build true aerobic capacity, you need to put in long hours. Mm. I think that's just something that's hard to work around. Give you an example. This guy, that signed up to the gym yesterday, he did CrossFit for 8 years. And he felt like his fitness was the thing that let him down the most when it comes to training.
Yeah.
And he's like, but it wasn't that case in the beginning. I was making a lot of progress. And what I told him is because to build proper aerobic fitness is you need to go beyond 30 minutes. You need to go beyond 40 minutes. But he's done CrossFit in America. And America, I think their CrossFit is a lot more traditional with how they do it. And at least the gyms he's been at. He went to CrossFit NYC. We interviewed the founder a while ago.
Oh, the biggest one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's like, you know, it's the same thing every day. It's like, you know, a short strength piece and then it's a short mech on. If you're always doing, you know, 5 to 15 minute workouts, there's only so much your fitness can improve. So if you've only ever done 5 to 15 minute workouts and you're looking to get help to improve your aerobic fitness, really I'm looking at, okay, cool, let's start doing some 30, 40, 50, 60 minute workouts. Let's start hitting some time domains that you don't normally hit. And now it kind of goes against the efficiency part of the question, but I would say...
But you could maybe do less sessions.
Yeah, you could do less sessions. Or what I was going to say is you could just cut out a whole strength training portion, which I don't usually recommend. I think strength training is superior, but go to 1 hour blocks, just continuous, whether it's bike, whether it's movement, maybe it's EMOM, mixing your stuff together, maybe it's a run, whatever it is, but start working outside the time domains you don't usually do.
Yeah. What I would say probably here is if you can find the bottleneck on the fitness, or whether your bottleneck is more of that short time domain or the long time domain, if you can find out the bottleneck, which you should be able to do, then you can just focus on that and that should be able to reduce your session. So if you've like just done the high intensity stuff for a very long time, then you might find, okay, I can pretty much cut all of that and just do longer aerobic training and my fitness will improve a lot. Or vice versa, if you've always just done long sports, you could cut all of that out, not do it for ages, it'll maintain, and just do a few really short, really high intensity pieces. And that would cut down on how much you do a lot. And then often the recommendation I give to clients is, just because if you look back at most athletes, if you can just find a sport that doesn't count as a session, that can be one of the best things you can do.
Yeah.
If you're just like, oh man, I've really got into playing soccer on Sundays, amazing. It probably doesn't count as one of your gym sessions, and it's like an hour and a half of cardio.
Yeah.
Whereas if you had to do an hour and a half cardio, you'd be like geeing yourself up all week to get it done.
Yeah. You know why most CrossFitters don't like running is because they don't have the patience to go slow.
Mm.
That's what I've noticed. Is you go out running with someone that only ever does cardio at a high intensity, only ever trains at a high intensity, maybe only ever plays sport at a high intensity, to go, okay, we're going to run for the next 40 minutes and I want you to take your time. I want you to have a conversation with me the whole time. They struggle because it's a pacing thing. It's not that you hate running. It's that you suck at pacing.
Yeah.
And so that's really what fitness comes down to a lot. I was explaining to this member I was talking about. I'm like, okay, well, part of what's to do with fitness as well is movement efficiency and pacing. So I'm like, if you don't know how to pace properly, if you don't know how to be efficient in the movement, relax where you can relax, you know, be tense where you need to be tense and ride that fine line, you're going to waste a lot of energy as well. It's why so many people are so fit in the gym, but then you put them in the competition arena, they tense up, all that fitness goes to waste because they're just burning up all that extra energy just because they haven't figured out the efficiency. So there's a whole lot of components to that question, but yeah, exactly what you said. Find out where the bottleneck is and then work on that component.
The Brace Up coach, he's liking the IGTV videos we're posting, and he was wondering if we could do what are the best exercises for rear delts and upper back training. My shoulders do naturally roll forward a little, so I want to focus on strengthening and building up the muscles in that area.
Man, you know what a really good exercise is for your upper back is overhead squats. I mean, maybe overhead squats is too difficult for some people, but that position with the barbell, even just holding it in that position, I feel like it's one of the best upper back exercises that you can do. Always thought nothing ever challenges that position like an overhead squat, and it works on your rear delts as well. Holding that bar overhead, you need good shoulder mobility, you need good stability. If you've never been in that position before and you start putting some weight overhead, I mean, you're gonna find it very challenging. I think it's a great position to get into.
Yeah, well, if you look at a weightlifter, like the upper back is popping out of, particularly if they're shredded.
Yeah.
Not the 105, but the lighter classes. It's popping out the back.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, if your hips suck, obviously it's not going to be a good one for you, right?
Right.
Or your ankles suck because you're going to be so bent over, it's just going to be a labrum tear. But then you can still do the same thing, just standing.
Yeah.
Just don't move, really, right? Yeah, or just walk.
Or walk, yeah.
Something like that. So if you have the mobility for it, I agree. It's easily one of the best. Because also you can weight it. And it's just, I guess the time under tension seems to get such good results from it.
Yeah.
And it's probably one that regular people in the gym just like never do.
Yeah. I think it's a really good bang for buck. I mean, we could throw in some extra stuff, some different plate exercises and stuff, but it's not that hard to tell people, okay, warm your shoulders up correctly, do some band pull aparts, and then throw weight heavy overhead and go for a walk. You know, it's simple, it's effective, it hits rear delts and upper back all at the same time, and it's forcing you into a good position as well. I mean, you can do all the rear delt flies in the world, and I can give you all these different cues, but at the end of the day, it's not like you're aiming to hold a really good position for your body. You're just trying to activate a muscle, whereas it's a performance-based exercise, an overhead walk, right? You have to lock out, right? You have to have your head in a good position. You have to have midline in a good position. You have to stabilize. You have to walk. It's all these things in one. I think it's a great tool to throw in there.
Yeah, and my one expectation would say, he says that his shoulders are rolled forward. If you just do upper back exercises, it's very unlikely your shoulders are going to stop being rolled forward. You can see plenty of guys in the gym that have jacked upper backs.
Yeah.
Your shoulders don't really naturally just unravel and start going back. It's a lot more to it than like your structure.
Yeah.
And your structure doesn't automatically change just because you start strengthening the area.
Yeah. I mean, Dan Bailey's a perfect example. Remember that OG CrossFitter? Yeah, he had really bad rolled in shoulders. Plenty of upper back muscles. Yeah. Sometimes it's like you might do a little bit too much, you know, anterior movement, so chest and you know, pulling from the floor and that sort of stuff, which can pull you into a forward position. But yeah, just getting a big upper back's not going to fix your posture. It's going to help.
No.
It's going to help, absolutely. But it's not going to fix forward
injuries.
Shoulder. Yeah.
You know, but it might not make you, it's unlikely it's going to make you look so different in terms of like, yeah, the position of your shoulders. In the same way you just, you know, you start doing biceps, your arm's just not always bent the whole time.
Yeah. Yeah, yes.
Change the structure of your arm. Now, your biceps look bigger.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
The structure doesn't change much. So I would get your expectations in check there.
Yeah.
Tom Spence, chest exercises to maximize gains for pectoralis excavatum. How often should I be trained without hurting recovery?
Is he talking? He's not talking about pectoralis major or minor. Pectoralis excavatum.
I thought he was joking.
Excavatum.
Okay. And this the next question is related. Variety of bench exercises with proper dumbbells.
Okay, let me just check. Oh, right. Yeah, he's got this. Where it looks like your chest has been sucked into a black hole.
So
my cousin had this.
Show me the photo again.
It's like where it's like, I don't know if you've ever known anyone. It's that's a really extreme example.
I think I have
example.
Seen someone with that before, yeah.
But it's like, yeah, you have
the chest goes, like the bones go in.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like if you lie down in a bath, there'd be like a little puddle in there. That's why me and my cousin used to take baths together when we were little kids, and I used to make fun of his like puddle. But in all seriousness, yeah, it's, I don't know, it's a difficult one because, I mean, it's the structure of your bones. Mm. And so it's, but that's kind of, you can, when you're growing up, manipulate the shape of your bones as they're still growing. But if you're in your adult bone structure, it's a little bit harder. That being said, the things that I would do to offset those would obviously be working on all the structures around it. So your pecs, your shoulders, your arms, your abdominals, that sort of stuff. That's going to help, I guess, in some ways distract from the aesthetic nature of it. Like for my chest, there's a gap in my pecs, but it was
just a gap in the muscles.
In the muscles, I know. Yeah. But like that gap was way more noticeable when I was a lot smaller. Mm. But then when I put, and it was like way more concerning for me. But then when I put on a lot of weight and I put on a lot of size, it wasn't an issue for me anymore because just by everything being bigger, it naturally made that area smaller. And so visually, how the human eye works or whatever, when all that other stuff's built up around it, it just distracts from it. I don't think it can necessarily ever go away. I could be wrong. I'm not a doctor though, but I know bones are pretty hard to shape once they're formed. So outside of surgery, just naturally, how the human eye works, build up the other structures around it, really focus on those things, and that should help to, I guess, take away from how noticeable that dip is in that position. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, it does change. I mean, it's similar to people that, you know, think you have broad shoulders when you just put some muscle on the sides of your shoulders.
Yeah.
Structure hasn't changed, but it looks in the mirror like the structures of your bones have changed.
And find something to get really impressive arms, get really impressive legs and calves, and people, it won't become a thing anymore, right? You know, people will look at you and they go, oh, he's got something, you know, a little dip in his chest or whatever, but like, dude, how crazy are your legs? Like, dude, I train legs like a savage. You know what I mean? Like, you can have, you don't want to let this one thing that you don't like about yourself stop you from being an absolute beast with other stuff that you do, right? At the end of the day, people aren't going to care what Tom Brady's rig looks like if he's got 7 Super Bowl rings.
We talked about it all show.
I know. But that's because that's all we do. We're podcasts. But at the end of the day, he doesn't give a fuck.
He doesn't give a fuck.
I mean?
Yeah.
You go, oh, bro.
Laughing all the way to the back.
He goes, my body.
$300 million
goes,
seven rings.
Well, hold on. I've only got 3 fingers left, but I couldn't hear you behind my 7 rings. It's like, all right, cool. He's got that. He doesn't care, you know? And that's ultimately what I think you can do here. You can turn this situation into a positive.
Become
a
Super Bowl champion.
Dude, you can get massive delts. You can get the biggest delts anyone's ever seen in their life, and no one will care about a dip
in your
chest.
This is what every short guy does in the gym. Dude, you're so short, but if you get jacked,
you'll look like a circle. you'll be a square.
Even shorter, actually. That's the truth. You'll be, it'll make you look wider.
You will
shorter.
Look ridiculous. You won't fit into anything. You'll have a size 30 waist, but you'll have 38
legs. They won't look down at you. They will laugh and look down on you.
Oh, my God. We're horrible.
That's it
for listener questions. All right, before we get into the shows for this week that we're going to review, one of the companies that we'll be working with and for a long time, because one of the newest products they brought out, the company's Activated Nutrients. They've got Activated X Performance, but we will talk about their greens powdered Activated Nutrients. It is very difficult. Everyone's going to nod their head. You've heard this before, but it is extremely difficult to wake up every day, finish a whole day, eating the whole variety of fruits and vegetables that you need that are obviously cooked well, they're steamed well, they're sauteed. You've got a mix, Connor's holding up donuts. And you're covering all your bases, all your vitamins, all your minerals. You've even got the pre and probiotics mixed in there to make sure your absorption's on point. It's just an impossible scenario. Unless you have nothing to do except make sure that you're just ticking boxes all day with your food, you need the modern solution to modern problems. And our modern problem is we're just all so fucking busy. Technology has enabled us to be really busy and really stressed all the time. We don't have time to get around to our foods. That's why we have supplements. So this is where Activated Nutrients slips in perfectly. The greens powder is available to anyone. It's the top-up product. So Activated Nutrients, the top-up for men and the top-up for women. So our discount code is on the link, themymuscleproject.com/activated, and you'll be able to go to that link and get a discount on those products. We highly recommend picking them up. You can subscribe. You can get it delivered every month. And that way you get that teaspoon. It's less than $2. Have that teaspoon every day. Cover yourself in health. We have not been sick really for a long time. You even made it through.
I haven't been sick since COVID.
Yeah.
I noticed because I haven't got a COVID test.
Yeah. You haven't been sick since COVID and you had a kid. Everyone gets sick once they have a kid.
But I got sick just when COVID was hitting. So I'm coming up to 12 months. It's pretty impressive.
It is impressive.
But I've had it every day. I've green and the red.
Yeah. Super impressive stuff. So again, check it out. themymuscleproject.com/activated. Okay. So we have some different movies that we've done in between. So my one that I've got this week, I just started on it. I needed something that in between the main shows that I'm watching with Ev, I have a show that, like the show that she doesn't want to watch, you know, that I also don't really need to watch straight away. Like I'm not dying to watch it, but it's something if I've got nothing else on, I've got a half an hour to kill. It's like, cool, I'll slip in an episode here. And like, you're not that tied into the timeline. And the show that has become that show for me is Ballers, which is with The Rock. And so basically, if you haven't seen the show, The Rock is this sports retired NFL star, like in his 40s, roughly, I think they're pitching it. So he's been retired. So he's got this network and he's really well connected and really well respected by current players in the NFL. But he's now like he's not a sports agent. He works with a sports agent. He manages the finances for these players. So he helps them make financial investments. He's not like necessarily cutting the better deal. That's what the agent does. But like if they want to buy sports cars or whatever, he like, all right, sets up the lease or whatever. If they want to make investments or whatever, or if they want to pay for certain things, like he'll help them pay those things. So basically stop them from going broke, essentially. And obviously he's been broke. He knows the whole game. That's really good. Look, The Rock is limited with his acting abilities. And that is a compliment to begin with. So I love The Rock, so I don't really care. So if you wanted The Rock to be amazing actor, this is not the show for you. But if you just want to see a lot of The Rock and you like The Rock and you respect him, then it's a great show for you. And it's shot in a way and its timeline is scripted in a way that's very Entourage. Very, very much reminds me of Entourage. The length of each shot, the positions of the different shots, the settings of the shots, the characters, like just the whole vibe about the whole thing is super Entourage. Almost like cut, copy, paste with an Entourage timeline. And so, I'm getting really into that at the moment. Like I said, it's really easy watching. It's nothing serious. It's pretty funny. There's actually some pretty good financial advice in there, surprisingly. No. Yeah, it's really good. He had this one. It was like in the first episode, he's like, first three pieces of advice. He's like, if it drives, it floats, and it flies, he's like, lease it.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. I was like, oh, that's pretty good.
Have you ever heard of...
It's like depreciating assets.
Like how Shaq spent his first $1 million in the NBA?
Nah, but it would be ridiculous.
It's quite funny. Like, he got his first check. His first check apparently was for $1 million coming out of college, right?
Yeah.
He's like, I'm bad. He's like, I got more coming, but this is like my first million.
Yeah.
So he like goes straight to the car store and he's like, I always wanted a black Mercedes. He's like, I got a black Mercedes.
Yeah.
He's like, mad. And then he's like, you know...
This would have been in the 90s.
Drove home, it was like $100,000, right?
Yeah.
Drove home, his mom was like, what, you got a black Mercedes? Oh, okay. Goes back, gets her a black Mercedes. and comes back. And I think it's like his brother. Is it the brother or like cousin? I'm like, dude, come on. Like, I want one too. Goes back, gets a third black Mercedes. Then he goes, so he spent $300,000 and then he buys his, like some sort of house. I think it was about $700,000. So it wasn't too expensive. So he spends the whole million, right? Yeah. So it's been like 24 hours.
Oh my God.
His accountant calls him up and goes, oh, you forgot, but you got tax on your million.
Oh,
idiot. And he goes, dude, you're $350,000 in debt.
Oh my God.
And Shaq was like, that was the moment I knew I needed a financial advisor.
Dude, this is exactly what this show is based on.
He actually got like a really well-known financial advisor at that point. Now he's all good.
He's all set.
Yeah.
No, it's a serious, and that's what I like about this show is because that's why I was saying it's Entourage-esque, because they're basing it off real life. Mm. They're basing it off what actually happens to these players and like real scenarios of these players getting ripped off and getting conned and like not investing their money well. And, you know, the typical, they obviously got a few different characters in there, but like one of the guys is just that typical, like looks after all his boys and he's got his boys around him. They're always like getting money off him and that sort of thing. And that's a real thing because he's constantly spending money for 10 people, not just himself. And so I kind of enjoy it. I think it's a cool, obviously I love sports and, you know, I like business and finance and stuff. So yeah, it's a cool show. So yeah, I mean, I'm not saying it's the best show ever in the world for acting, but I'm enjoying it. So I'm going to give it a 3.5 out of 5.
That actually sounds sick.
Yeah.
Okay. I watched the first episode of The History of Swear Words. On Netflix. It has Nicolas Cage in it.
Oh my God.
I googled like why he did this and it seems like he's in some sort of debt situation.
He's so broke. Yeah. He's so broke.
So I think he did this 100% for the money. When I googled it, similar situation what you're talking about. I think he like owes money to the tax department and here's his way of paying it off. The first episode was on the F word, so I watched that. It was like, it's okay, like it's jokes aren't that funny. And I realized watching it, like it's not that interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, it's like kind of interesting, but it's not, like I was never that curious.
You don't really care where it comes from.
No, it has like no real impact on my life or how I use it. So that, I realized about halfway through.
Mm. Oh, so that video I sent you on the weekend, just before we wrap here, Sydney Jewish Museum is what I went to.
Yeah.
Yeah. Had you not been there before?
Of course, no.
Oh, you've been there. Okay. You shouldn't recognize it. You didn't recognize it?
No, I just didn't know. I had no idea what you were sending me.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Anyway, it was a good experience. I would recommend if you live.
Why did you go there?
Because that book that Ev's reading, The Happiest Man on Earth, Eddie Jaku, the survivor from the Holocaust, he has something to do with that museum. He mentions it a few times, so she got curious about it. But
at my school, it was mandatory. Everybody had to go.
That's what I was going to say. I think everyone who, whatever your background, wherever you come from, if you have access to a Jewish museum that's not obviously too inconvenient, you have to go. It's really good experience, like to understand that stuff. I think it's a good course of education that people don't know about. People know obviously it was bad and what happened in World War II and all this stuff, but I think to get a proper education on it, I think it's important.
Well, it's one of the rough ones because I think COVID death toll is like, what, it's getting close to 2 million maybe, right?
I think so, yeah.
And it's like, you know, the whole world...
I think it's eclipsed a million.
Yeah, it's over a million. The whole world is at a standstill. Man, the amount of Jews with gas was like 5 times that.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, it's actually crazy, yeah. So anyway, go check it out. themymosproject.com/the Jewish Museum, Sydney. Okay, you guys heard it here first. Everything we talked about today and more in the show notes. Any other questions, anything, shoot it through to our Instagram. And guys, as always, thank you so much for tuning in and we'll speak to you all next week. Thank you, Project, for tuning in again to another episode of the My Muscle Project. We release an episode every single Monday. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram, the My Muscle Project, to stay up to date with everything we're doing. And if you have some time, leave us a review and a 5-star rating on iTunes.
And don't forget, we have a second show of the week, The After Show. So it's no longer a rest day on Thursdays. If you have any questions for Lachlan and I for that show, head to themymuscleproject.com/The After Show. And if you ask a question, we'll answer it on the show.
Thanks again so much, Project, and we'll see you all next week.